Good morning, friends. Welcome to Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm John Sloop, your host. Dean Welty is away today, back, I believe, in Ohio, attending his high school reunion, and I think it's probably his 80th or his 90th high school reunion, Rita.
I think you got the number right, but the state wrong. I think he's in Indiana.
Oh, he's in Indiana. He's in Indiana for his 80th or 90th high school reunion. But we're delighted to have Rita Dunaway back with us at the studio. As we indicated last week, Rita was in San Diego. And Rita, tell us about the conference you attended and the legislators you addressed on the subject of the Convention of States.
Yeah, San Diego was great, Doc, although I did miss you and Dean. The conference was the annual ALEC conference. ALEC stands for American Legislative Exchange Council.
Wow.
So this is an organization that consists mostly of conservative state legislators from across the country.
Okay.
There were a few Virginia state legislators there. And as you mentioned, I was there to talk to them about the Convention of States project. And I have to tell you, the one thing I'll report just quickly is that the major theme that I saw emerge at this conference for the state legislators was that it is absolutely essential for us to find ways to rein in an out-of-control federal government.
Yes.
And the Convention of States project, of course, is an effort to do just that by using Article 5 of the Constitution. Our workshop that we held for state legislators was standing room only.
Wow.
So this idea is really catching on. It was a really exciting time. And maybe on another program we can go into more detail.
Well, if you're unfamiliar with the term Convention of States, you can go to the valleyfamilyforum.org website, go to Crossroads, and look at the list of programs we've done. And I think we've done one, I know, maybe two, on the Convention of States, Article 5 of the Constitution. You folks out there need to be aware of this because it's critical. Well, Rita, I bumped into you and your lovely daughter at Martin's this week, and I was with my 90-year-old mother-in-law. We were shopping, and when I introduced you to my mother-in-law, she just lit up and she said, Oh, Rita, I listen to you on Crossroads every Sunday, to which I said, that's great, Nana. Now send us a check.
Yes, you really did. I was there and I witnessed it.
I never miss an opportunity. But this is just a reminder to my mother-in-law to send us. She's one of the most generous, kind people I know.
She's delightful.
And I know she's going to send us a big check. And I would encourage others of our listeners to join my mother-in-law in supporting Crossroads. We stay on the air because of your gifts. We've estimated that it takes about $2,000 a month to do Crossroads on 4 radio stations, $500 a week. So please send your contributions to Crossroads, P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22803. Now, Rita, I'm so glad you're back from San Diego because we have today at the studio a Sabrina Dorman Andrew, who's been making headlines lately. There was a great story in the DNR about Sabrina and her new ministry, New Creation. And it's a ministry that addresses the tragic issue of human sex trafficking around the world. Welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you so much, Doc and Rita, for having me here with you this morning.
Super. Why don't we begin, before we get into your ministry, which I had a chance to visit the New Creation shop yesterday. It's outstanding. Just begin by telling our viewers a little bit about yourself, your background, and so forth.
Yeah, I am a Shenandoah Valley girl. I was born and raised here. I am your typical mom, wife, follower of Jesus. In my spare time, I like to drink coffee.
You're not following Jesus in your spare time.
I'm not.
No,
I do
coffee.
That all the time.
All the time. Okay.
All right.
But in my spare time, I drink lots of coffee, love to play card games with my daughters. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Great. Well, your ministry, again, is called New Creation. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us what it's all about, its purpose, its mission, and I'd love to know the inspiration behind the name.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Thanks. So New Creation, we stand to counteract sex trafficking, not just here in our community, but around the world. We have three main goals. Our first is community awareness. So just talking about what is this issue? What does it look like in our community? The second is to do prevention education. We're recognizing that younger and younger children are the targets in our community. So we want to start conversations with our children. What does this look like? How can I protect myself? Essentially unveil the common lures that traffickers use. And the third is the shop that Doc mentioned. We partner with organizations around the globe. We carry items that are handmade by sex trafficking victims, and the funds go back to those organizations. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's providing restoration and aftercare, and then for more to be rescued. New creation comes from 1 Corinthians. You know, we're talking about not just some of us, anyone, all of us who are in Christ are a new creation. We get a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And so that was our heart behind our ministry, was how can we let these women know that they have a new start, they have new life, they are new creation. So that's where our name came from.
That's beautiful.
I love the modern translation of that 1 Corinthians 5:17, yeah. I think, that says, the old is past, behold, the new has come. And so you're giving that newness to others. Sabrina, I'd love to hear about that epiphany moment or that situation that sort of, you know, where you were awakened to this need. And so what was your impetus to get this all started?
You know, I think like most Americans, I had heard of sex trafficking to an extent, but I thought it was over there, wherever over there was, it wasn't here. My husband had the opportunity to hear a young lady speak. She spoke about her ministry in Uganda. We had a real heart to serve her, but we couldn't fly to Africa. So we just reached out and said, how can I serve you here in Harrisonburg? What can I do here that would help your ministry? And so it started by her sending the jewelry that the young ladies were making. We turned our dining room into a shop, and that's really the just very simple way that we started. As we were doing that, we started looking at what really is sex trafficking, where is it, who is it affecting, who are the perpetrators of it, and it moved closer and closer to us. It started in Africa. We were seeing cases in Cambodia and Russia, and then it just kept moving closer. We were seeing cases in the U.S. and then cases in Virginia, and as a mom, it was really a terrifying thing to figure out this is in your community and nobody is doing anything to talk about it. We're not protecting our children because we don't even know it's here. And so I kept saying somebody ought to do something. Mm-hmm. And then finally my husband said, I think we're the someone who ought to do something. Mm-hmm. And so we started New Creation May of 2013. So mm-hmm. we've been around a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
That's a great example, your story, of the phrase that I'm sure you've both heard, think globally and act locally. Exactly. It sounds like that's exactly what you've done.
And Rita, also the phrase that we use here sometimes, where faith and culture meet.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's a sick culture, and you're addressing it with your faith.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Well, as you know, there was a great Daily News Record article in the paper recently about New Creation, and it talked about human trafficking and referred to it as a form of modern-day slavery. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can just educate us and our audience a little bit. How widespread is this problem globally, nationally, and talk some more about the problem being present here in the Valley?
Yeah, I think to say it's spreading is an understatement. It's an epidemic. Mm-hmm. You know, sex trafficking, human trafficking is the largest, one of the fastest growing criminal industries in the world. It's already surpassed weapons, basically mm-hmm. the trading of weapons. It's second only to drug trafficking. So it is a huge industry. It's underground. So these estimates that we have, we don't really know if it's got the full scope, but they estimate around 30 million people globally are trapped in human trafficking. In 2014, they estimate that it made $150 billion mm-hmm. throughout the world. And so we're talking about something that is very widespread. It is in every single country. It has been reported in every single state in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard because we see it being such an issue that sometimes it can paralyze us to not know how to attack it. You know, how do we counteract something that's growing so fast, that's affecting so many people? And what we really want people to see is, I think we can stop it in our community. I believe that we can come together and stand up against it. It is happening here. We're seeing cases here in Harrisonburg that are being brought to light, that the, you know, they're coming in and seeing that girls are being brought into our town because of 81. Mm-hmm. 81 and 95 are these corridors that they know trafficking of humans is happening. And so I think for us, the first part is being aware that it's here, not pretending that it's not present in our community, but then standing up and using our voice to start these difficult conversations.
Now, I know that Senator Obenchain sponsored legislation, I guess it would have been last year, last session, to combat this problem, but I don't really know the details of it. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, sure. It actually, July 1st, so this month is when it actually went into place. Part of it was being able to identify the victims of trafficking. Many people don't realize Virginia was the only state in all the U.S. that did not have a standalone sex trafficking law. So we saw such a growth in our state because of the lack of having this to protect victims.
Sure.
And so it's huge that it's here now. It will help provide services. It will help provide actual education to be able to understand what a victim is, to be able to identify a victim. So it does a lot of the things that we've lacked here in our state.
Sabrina, I had the chance to go by the shop yesterday and to just see what you have there. And I'd love for you to just tell us how this, what's happened since it started in your living room and moved to your new location and how you acquired the building, and just tell us about that.
A few years ago when we started, I really felt the Lord was calling me to 3051 South Main Street, which was a former pornography shop.
Yes, we remember it.
So we really started praying, Lord, how is this going to work? This property isn't even for sale. You know, how do you want us to go about this? So we started the ministry, like you said, in our house. It had grown. Really, it took over our house. We were able to grow it to 5 different organizations that we were serving within our home. But when we were able to purchase the property, it was April of last year. We ended up being the highest bidder in the auction. We had about 13-month renovation on the property. And now as it stands, newly redeemed and restored, we're able to house 12 different organizations now. And so we've over doubled the impact that we've been able to have. As you saw yesterday, we have room to grow.
Yeah.
And so that's really exciting for us, that it's not in our house. There was only so much that we could do. But now that we have a location to house the shop, it houses our office space, resource center, so we can continue prevention education with youth. And so it's just a whole new beginning for our ministry, really.
I remember for a long time when I would drive by that building, I saw the sign across the old signage that said Redeemed.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and how that was significant to you.
Yeah, you know, we put the Redeemed banner up partly for our protection. We had a lot of people who were still coming to try to buy pornography. Mm-hmm. And when I was there by myself, it just was an uncomfortable conversation.
Oh, yes.
Like, hey, we're under new management. His name is Jesus. You know, this whole really could be kind of an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
And so we thought if we put Redeemed over the Pamela sign, maybe it will stop people.
Pamela has been redeemed.
Yes. So we've put that over the sign. But you know what happened? And God is so awesome, and the things that He has planned. We did it for protection. He did it to send a message to the people that He loved. And we've heard over and over just how that spoke to people. You know, I had a young lady who said, I drove by it every day to work, and it was just a reminder that my life could be redeemed. And we want to send the message. God isn't just in the business of redeeming people. He can redeem things, and we're never too far gone. We're never, you know, too far for his reach. And so I think the redeemed banner had a way of really bringing that message and touching hearts around the community.
Yeah, I was one of those people to whom that really spoke. Every time I drove by it, I just wanted to praise God for what he had done there, to take something that was used for evil and to turn it into something that was used for good. Yeah. So I love that you put that banner up there. That was a great witness. Is there an outstanding debt on the building at this point? And is there a way that listeners can help with that?
Yeah, we bought the property for roughly $259,000. And so we were able to fundraise to close on the property. We were also able to fundraise the roughly $40,000 it took to renovate the property. But we do still have a mortgage. So we're like every other nonprofit. We are alive because there are people and communities of people who are standing with us. And so we always need financial support. Our mortgage is roughly $1,400 a month, which is a lot for a nonprofit to come up with. Sure. But we just believe that God's called us to it. And if he's called us to it, he's going to provide it.
And maybe my mother-in-law.
Yeah. And
we'll hear this
Doc's
program
mother-in-law.
And we'll cut two checks.
Oh, poor woman.
I hope she doesn't stop listening.
That's great. And I know that you're, let's go ahead and give credit to your home church, Grace Covenant.
Yes, they're amazing.
And they've been
people.
Very supportive, and I know a lot of their people have been involved. And when I visited with you, Sabrina, you were so excited about your, I think you call them your team of volunteers. So tell me about your team and really how, other than you and your husband, the people that make this work.
Yeah, well, with the renovation, it was hundreds of people, honestly. We had different businesses, different people stepping in to either donate money, goods, or their time. Our team, our new creation team, are the girls that will greet you when you come to our shop. They're all volunteers because we are, you know, we're a nonprofit, and so we are trying to keep it on a budget. Different people have different needs as far as what they're good at. How can we get them involved? So if people are wanting to step into the shop, if they feel like they would be a great face to be behind the new creation counter, we would love for them to reach out to us. They can email us at volunteer@newcreationva.org. And we have other ways of getting involved. But I know a lot of people want to be in the shop, working in the shop.
Yep.
The Daily News Record article talked about your partnering with ministries across the country who provide the items that you sell in the shop. How do you select those ministries, and can you tell us a little bit about your inventory?
Yeah, so like I had mentioned earlier, the one that we started with in Uganda, the way that we started with them was just very grassroots, connecting with them. The ones that we've brought so far to the shop have, some have reached out to us and said, hey, I heard what you're doing in Harrisonburg. Can you add me? Really, the nice thing about the anti-trafficking movement is it's a community of people. There is no competition in the kingdom. We're working together to try to find solutions. And so a lot of the ways that we find partnerships is really through the other partnerships that we hold. We have a range of jewelry from Uganda, purses and scarves from Cambodia. We have Indian jewelry. We have candles and soaps that are made here in the U.S. And so it's just a great, it's a wide variety. It's a great shopping experience. But more than that, I want the community to be aware we're all spending money. We're all buying gifts. We're all doing this. And there's a greater good that we can really fund by shopping through places like New Creation and 10,000 Villages and places that it's more than a shopping experience. You know, you're giving freedom. You're buying into new life and a new beginning for women.
Yeah. I noticed that you have a beautiful necklace on today. I'm sorry that our audience can't see it. Is that something that
is
would
that
be...
Is that your first one that you were wearing?
My first one was yesterday. When Doc stopped by the shop yesterday, I realized that the necklace that I was wearing was the very first Imani necklace. This is one of the necklaces that we carry. And it's so beautiful. It's unique and interesting. It's something that's different. You're not going to see it in a big box store. It's really... it's hard to explain without people being able to come in and see. And the items are handmade. You know, this is paper that these girls cut into pieces and
hand
roll.
Does not look like paper, I have to say.
Now, Sabrina, just so our listeners understand, these items are made by the young women that have been rescued and restored.
Correct.
So it's not just,
it's not just stuff. And, and, you know, people a lot of times will say, well, I just don't know how to help. Really, shopping and being able to purchase these items or gift these items. The other thing that I love, and I've said it before, when I'm wearing one of these necklaces or a bracelet, it really keeps me connected with the women that we serve. And so it reminds me to pray for them. It reminds me, you know, of why we're doing what we're doing. And so I hope others feel that way when
it's
they're wearing
our
stuff.
It's sort of a physical, tangible connection to the ministry. I can't wait to visit your shop. With my daughter.
And with your credit card.
Yes.
My wife, Gwen, said to me this morning, she says, I want to go, she said, because I'm always buying gifts for birthday parties, birthdays, and so what she said, I'd much rather spend the money there than at TJ Maxx or someplace like that.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's such a good way to spread what we're doing. You know, if you gift something from New Creation and you can say that item is helping bring freedom to a girl in Cambodia, it's such a wonderful, I mean, it's a twofold gift. You're giving a gift and then giving a gift to a lady that you might not ever get to see.
That's
so
awesome.
It's great.
Sabrina, you mentioned earlier that one of the main emphases of your ministry is education and promoting it and prevention and education. And I've heard you speak at my Rotary Club. Gwen has heard you speak at First Presbyterian Church. So tell us about that part of the ministry.
Yeah. Really, education is such a key to this issue. We're seeing the average age in the U.S. is around 11 to 12 years old. That's in our country of victims. That's a seventh grader. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for us to get in front of the issue, to prevent it, to really open not just children's eyes, but parents' eyes, what to watch for, what to look for. You know, we see so many traffickers understanding that if they can get a child to leave, run away versus kidnap, that there's this loophole of when they're starting to be looked for. And so it's important. It's really, really important for us to unveil those things to kids so they know something doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem normal, you know. And I've heard students that I've worked with say, you came and spoke, and then, you know, one of my girlfriends at school said there was a gentleman who approached her online. And so we're hearing more and more kids saying, because I heard you say that this was one of the ways, it set a red flag, an alert off. But if kids don't know what to look for, if our parents don't know what to look for, it's very difficult to prevent it from happening.
You know, I have to say, I'm glad you're talking about this now, because I have to say that as a suburban mom living in the Shenandoah Valley, it really surprises me. It's almost hard to believe that this could be happening in our community.
Yeah.
Is there sort of a typical scenario for, you know, how is it happening here in the Valley?
Well, and I think we all want to know what makes a victim, and can we make sure our kids don't have that criteria?
Yeah.
The truth is, traffickers and pimps prey upon vulnerabilities, and we know that our children are most vulnerable. You know, that they are looking for a vulnerability, whether it's a self-confidence issue, whether it's an issue at home. Many of the victims of trafficking, unfortunately, have already been the victim of some sort of sexual abuse within their home. It's around 60 to 70% have already been victimized. And so a lot of it's a vulnerability, a desire and want for something more. We see the common scenario in our country is either the boyfriend, the Romeo approach. So it's a male that's approaching a young lady that's via social media, building a relationship with her and getting her to run away. We have seen modeling agencies, fake modeling agencies that are used. So just really they're looking at what would work for a 13-year-old girl. What way could I get her to come with me willingly? And those are the things that they do. And so every scenario is different. Every victim is different. They're from every background, every, you know, ethnicity, every socioeconomic. I mean, it's just, there's no one thing. It's just a common vulnerability that they're finding and exposing.
So are you getting invitations from the public schools?
To some extent, yes. We have been invited into some of the public schools. Last year, I was able to educate Wilson Memorial High School and spoke there. I speak more within churches because we are religiously affiliated. I think some public schools are a little bit concerned with letting us in. Our education is secular. We never bring up, you know, the gospel and what we do. We really just want to get into the schools.
Well, you know, I know a member of my church. I won't mention his name publicly, but he's involved in the public school systems, and his expertise is in this whole area of internet protection.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put you in touch
That'd
with him
great.
To
mm-hmm.
try to get an entrance into the public schools
yeah.
because, boy, they absolutely need that.
And I just think it's so helpful as a community member to hear about how it's happening and to understand that, you know, most of us, I think when we hear human trafficking, what comes to mind is a mass kidnapping in
right.
Africa
right.
that we don't think of as happening here. But it sounds like what these traffickers do is they have a strategy that does work here.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be different, yeah. but they found something that works.
If you're listening and you're a teacher or a principal and you want to get in touch with Sabrina to find out more about this, again, the website is newcreationva.org, or you can call Sabrina at 208-7446, 208-7446.
So we just have a couple of minutes left, but I did want to ask you about future plans
yeah.
for the ministry. I know the article in the paper made reference to your becoming more involved in the restoration and aftercare aspect of this. So what can you tell us about your future plans?
Our future looks bright. I feel like God is calling us to something bigger than just the shop, what we're doing now. We wanted to lay good foundational groundwork and do what we're doing excellently before we step into another realm. But really, our heart is for aftercare. We would love to bring a restoration house here somewhere in the Shenandoah Valley, specifically for ages under 17. Currently, we only have two aftercare facilities in our state, and they're both for ages over 18.
Oh.
And so when girls are rescued, it really has created issue with what to do with them, what's the next step. A lot of these young ladies end up in juvenile detention centers. They end up in the foster care system and re-trafficked, or they end up back on the streets.
Oh.
And so, you know, our heart really is to serve the minors who are affected by this. I don't know. You know, I'd love to put a time. It's a five-year plan, but it's really God's plan and when He would have us do that. And so that's our next step.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds just wonderful.
And how would you go about, once you get into the restoration, how would that work if the, you know, how would you find them? Would they come
yeah.
to, I guess they would come to you and say, we need help, and then say a bit more about
yeah.
that. We have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, usually with aftercare, the way that it works is you're connected with social services, you're connected
okay.
with law enforcement.
Okay.
And so you build these partnerships. And when there is a young lady who is rescued, they send a referral to
you.
The restoration
okay.
house. And so you're trying to find a good fit because not every aftercare is fitting for the young lady. And so it's a referral basis. They would be referred to us.
Uh-huh. Well, that's excellent. Well, Sabrina, it's been wonderful to have you with us at Crossroads, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing in and through you. Again, we encourage folks to go to the New Creation Shop, and what's the address again?
It's 3051 South Main Street.
3051 South Main Street. And I was there yesterday, and the price ranges are from items as inexpensive as $4,
yeah.
$10, $20, so it's very reasonable,
yes.
wonderful place to shop for gifts. I know that Rita and my wife will probably head out there just today.
We'll be banging down your door.
And your husband also has restored some furniture, hasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, yeah, we have beautiful furniture to be purchased as well, yeah.
And I told Gwen that it's just beautifully displayed shop. But at any rate, thank you for listening today, friends, as you've tuned into Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. And Rita and I wish you a wonderful day and always encourage you to make a difference for Christ at the crossroads where faith and culture meet. Have a blessed day.